Chapter 8.
He has it out in the open.
Ira quickly noted.
The elves must be selling the dragons to whoever will buy them, including the humans. Ugh, how disgusting. I agree.
Cass let out a deep breath and shook her head.
The humans die so quickly the dragon will barely be past adolescence by the time they're already dead and gone.
Do they really die so quickly?
I've heard their lifespan is only about 50 years.
Quite short. I pursed my lips.
The poor baby probably won't last that long.
Ira said, and she looked at me with sad green eyes.
They've given him to a child, as if he were a pet. It is incredibly cruel. The little boy is in very nice clothes, nicer than a lot of the other children around here.
That's true. That must be part of why he has a dragon and the others don't.
I'm sure the elves are selling them for quite a bit of gold.
I took a deep, steadying breath to try and calm myself. It made me livid to think this little boy bought a dragon as a pet, as if it were a dog who liked to have a master and a warm place to sleep at night. Now, dragons were more than capable of taking care of themselves, and they thrived with other dragons around. That poor baby had been stolen away from its home and its mother, only to be sold to a little boy. It seemed the fear the Aesir had felt when the dragons attacked wasn't mirrored by any other realm. None of these assholes seemed to treat dragons with the respect and dignity they deserved. It was as if they felt utterly safe around the creatures, because they had them since they were a baby. Even Ira, Cass, and Asta had been slightly nervous to go into the Valley of Dragons in Alfheim, because they understood the strength and abilities of the huge creatures. Nobody else seemed to grasp that not only were dragons highly intelligent, but they could also kill everyone within a 10-foot radius with one blast of fire or chomp of their huge mouths. I knew they all felt safe because they were dealing with babies, but it was as if they forgot the babies grew to be larger than their homes. I shook my head to clear it, and then focused on the little boy again. As angry as I was, he might be our best bet to find the elves who were selling the dragons. We should go talk to him.
What? Won't that draw attention to ourselves?
Maybe. I nodded, but not too much, and it seems this is normal. Nobody else is looking at the dragon strangely, just admiring it as the boy walks by.
That's true. What did you have in mind to say to him? You're going to ask him where he got it, aren't you?
Ira asked with a grin. Yes, that's my plan. I smiled. I think he's the best resource we have right now to figure out where the dragon traders are.
Good idea.
Cass nodded.
He has to know where they're at. That shouldn't seem too suspicious either. Asking where someone bought something in a market is common. Very true. But what about the little dragon?
Asta frowned.
Are we just going to leave him with the young boy?
Oh, I have a better idea. I said, and I looked down at where Blah sat on my lap and stared ahead of us. Are you up for making a small portal, buddy? The little blue dragon looked up at me, and his little lizard lips pulled into a smile.
How will you get the dragon through the portal without being seen? Yes, you can't steal him. That would certainly draw attention to us.
No, we won't have to steal him. We'll make sure to be discreet. After I talk to him, Blah can sneak over and make the portal right inside the cage. The boy will never know.
Good idea.
Ira grinned. Now, you all wait here, I said, as I pulled the cart over to an empty side of the street. I'll be right back.
Be careful. Yes, please be careful.
Asta frowned. I'm going to speak with a child. I think this is probably the least scary mission we've all been on. I'll be all right.
You never know what could happen.
Which is why I always have my weapon on me. I patted the hilt of my blade.
They'll be watching from here.
I nodded and casually walked through the crowd in an attempt to look like I belonged. My clothes obviously didn't fit in, but nobody seemed to notice. A couple of people looked down at my shirt as I walked by, but none commented on it, so I figured it wasn't that out of place. I casually made my way down the street, but I never took my eyes off the child there. I didn't want him to see me before I got over to him, and I didn't want anyone else to notice me walking directly for him either. I couldn't be sure if the elves had spies around here or not, but I wasn't going to take that chance, so I needed to be as discreet as possible. Asta was right. The little boy's clothes were extremely nice. He wore a white top that only came to his waist, like the adults, and a pair of black pants hung down to the ground over his leather sandal-covered feet. He must have been 10 or 11, judging by his size and weight, and where a lot of the other children were fit from running around and playing, this child was more rounded. He had light brown hair and matching eyes, which were narrowed on the little cage as I walked up. His parents were at a nearby booth, looking at some vases with flowers, and he picked up a stick and poked at the dragon while he waited. As I got closer, I could sense the fear of the small blue dragon inside the cage, and my heart sank. The little creature couldn't have been more than a few days old, maybe a week at most, and he was utterly terrified. His dark blue coloring reminded me of Bla, but it was shaped like Inga and Ufe, so I knew he'd come from Alfheim, and his pale yellow eyes darted in all directions as he tried to find an escape. The poor little creature darted around the cage as the little boy grumbled and tried to poke it with his stick. I didn't want to seem too eager to speak with him, but the sight of him attacking the poor baby was enough to make my blood boil. The little dragon let out a terrified squeal, and I couldn't wait any longer. "Hey there," I said, as I quickly closed the distance between the two of us. The boy looked up at me, and then went back to trying to poke the little dragon.
"Hello?"
"I see you have a new pet," I commented, and I tried to keep my jaw from clenching shut with anger as he caught the dragon one good time. The little boy didn't even seem to care that someone else was watching him torment the poor animal. He just continued to chase it around the cage with the stick he'd found.
"Yes, I do,"
he answered, and he tried to wiggle the stick between the bars so he could get to where the little dragon had crawled up toward the top of the cage. I'm looking to get one of those myself."
"Oh, yeah?"
he asked, and his light brown eyes looked up at me finally.
"You're not gonna find one better than my dragon. My dragon's gonna be huge, and I'm gonna train him to beat up other dragons."
This boy didn't even understand what he was saying. It was as if the dragon was merely an object to him, instead of a living, breathing creature who could think and feel. He was a child, but he was most certainly an unpleasant one, and I wanted nothing more than to snatch the dragon away from him and leave him to cry about it to his parents. Immediately I felt guilty for having that thought, but I was so enraged this was happening. The dragon trade was something the people of Midgard seemed familiar with, and I wondered how many more of them had dragons at home. This little boy was clearly just part of a society that needed fixing. "Your dragon is pretty great," I said with a small smile. "He looks really tough."
"Yeah, and he's only going to get tougher when he gets bigger,"
he said as he wiggled the stick around again. "Well, I know I won't be able to find one as good as yours, but do you think you could help me find one? I'll even take a small one if they have it."
"Well, I don't know where to find one."
He shrugged, but his eyes never left the cage. "Well, where did you get yours?"
"My parents bought mine."
He looked up and glared at me.
"They cost lots of money. Do you have money?"
"Yes." I nodded.
"You don't look like you're from here,"
the boy said, and his eyes narrowed on me further. "I'm not. Do you think you could tell me where you got your dragon? You might have to give me directions, too, if you can." He looked me up and down closely, and then turned back to the cage to continue pestering the little dragon.
"There's a shop,"
he said with a small shrug, and he pointed to the right.
"It's down that way."
"What's it called?"
"I don't know, but there's a big sign with a snake on it. They sell lots of weird animals in there."
"Thank you," I told him. The boy didn't respond, he just grumbled at the dragon once more for trying to escape his pokes. I could feel how terrified and annoyed the poor little dragon was. But he'd be free soon. As I walked back toward the cart, I noticed Kaas, Asta, and Ira walking straight toward me with the dragons at their feet. "Well, what are you doing?" I asked as the girls approached.
"I hid the cart magically. We thought this would be less conspicuous."
"Good idea," I nodded. "I know where we're headed."
"Great. Now let's free that little guy."
I nodded and led the girls and the dragons over to a nearby booth that was empty at the moment. The sign said the vendor would return soon, but we didn't need it for very long. We all ducked down behind the wooden sign and watched the little boy continue to try and poke the dragon for a moment.
He didn't take his eyes off the cage the whole time,
Ira said with a shake of her head.
Do you think you can still get the portal in there, Blar?
The little dragon let out a small huff and nodded. His portal growing abilities were limited, and he'd need to be somewhat close to the cage in order to make one inside of it that the little dragon could reach, and that meant he needed to get right up near the boy. Ira was right, though. The young human had barely taken his eyes off his new toy, so he would need to time this just right. We watched for a moment more, and then, finally, the boy's parents walked back over to him with a bag of merchandise from the flower vendor they'd been looking at. They said something to the child, but he just sneered and shook his head. Then he got up and started to follow them further down the street. Blah, now! The little dragon nodded and rushed through the crowd. Kars's enchantment disguised him as a dog to anyone who saw him, so none of the humans seemed to notice him run by their feet at all. Last time we'd been here, the humans seemed terrified to see Blah with us. But this time I'd seen several dogs already, so I knew they had to be somewhat common now. Blah ran right through the crowd and up to the cage the little boy carried. The small blue dragon kept his distance, but I saw the dragon in the cage scurry to the side so he could look out at Blah. Blah ducked behind a vendor booth just as the little boy looked back. Then when he turned back around, the little dragon quickly flew up behind the cage, and a small portal appeared inside. The blue dragon in the cage seemed confused at first, but then he looked out at Blah and scurried through the portal. Blah landed softly and then turned around and headed back over to us. The little boy continued on for a few more steps before he pulled the cage up so he could see his little pet. The stunned look on his face was enough to make me laugh out loud, and he immediately ran over to his mother and tugged on the length of her dress. When she looked back at him, he held the cage up to show her how the dragon had disappeared. His parents were beside themselves, and they all started looking around as if it had somehow slipped through those bars and escaped. Well, they were probably more concerned about the money than anything. They'd no doubt paid a pretty piece of gold, if not several, for the little creature.
They're never going to find him.
Kars chuckled as we watched them look around aimlessly. I smiled to myself, knowing the little dragon was back home in Alfheim. I was sure Blah had been able to create the portal so it sent him near the Valley of the Dragons, and once he was there, the other dragons would no doubt assist him in finding his mother. Next time we visited the valley, I'd be sure to inquire about the little blue creature, but for the moment, I took pride in knowing we'd rescued him from the torment of that little boy. Seeing him pester the little dragon and treat him as if he weren't even a living thing, like some sort of toy made strictly for his amusement, made me think about the dragon I'd seen before in Midgard. Whereas this boy seemed like he would punish his dragon for not doing what he wanted it to, the family who had the larger dragon clearly treated it as one of their own. Though the dragon loved the little girl and the mom, too, and though I hadn't seen the rest of the family, I could feel a sense of appreciation and home in the dragon I'd seen through. The creature had been as large as the little girl, certainly larger than Blah, and something told me she hadn't been bought since the family lived so humbly. I got the sense the dragon was found, probably abandoned or ran away from some misbehaved child like the one we'd just seen. It was strange to me to think how some dragons didn't mind being with a family, as long as it was their own choice. I didn't know how I knew things about the dragons' lives when I saw through their eyes. I could just feel and sense certain things, but I knew the family the dragon lived with would let her leave whenever she wanted. She was not their prisoner. She was a member of the family in her own right, just as my dragons were members of my small and strange family. Somehow, over the past few months, I'd accumulated 3 women and 4 dragons, and I loved each as much as the last. I took a moment to appreciate the way my life had gone, and the dragons and women in it, and once Blah made his way back over to us, we stepped out from behind the vendor booth and headed down the street, the way the young boy had pointed. I made sure he didn't see us as we walked by, just in case he decided to try and blame me for his missing dragon. But I couldn't help but laugh a little, as he continued to search for the lost pet I knew he'd never find.
He said this way?
Cass asked as she looked at the map.
This doesn't show me specific wonders, but I wish it did. They probably change much too often for that. Isn't it enchanted to show you the landscape and cities? You're right. It's a lot to ask for it to show me where the individual shops are as well. We'll find it, I'm sure.
Ira said, and she turned to me.
Where exactly did he say it was?
He didn't. I shook my head.
You said you knew where we were going.
Cass said, and her violet eyes widened with concern.
Did he tell you the name of the shop? Perhaps we can ask someone if they know where it's at.
No, he didn't tell me that either, I said, and Cass's eyes widened even further.
What?
Don't worry. He told me the shop had a huge snake on the sign.
He was a child.
Ira shrugged.
I guess it makes sense he wouldn't pay attention to the names of places. I always knew the names of the wonders in Asgard, even when I was a child. You also didn't really like fun, did you? What's that supposed to mean? I'm just saying most kids are busy looking at things to do or getting into stuff they're not supposed to. I never did any of that.
Cass frowned.
We figured as much. Was I a strange child?
Cass wondered, and her eyebrows pulled together as we walked.
Definitely. But you're a talented sorceress now as an adult, so I'd say it paid off.
Cass glared at the redhead, but then she smiled and shook her head. Oh, while the girls continued to chat, I narrowed my eyes and scanned the area around us. I made sure to look out for the sign the boy had told me about, but I also searched for elves. If the shop was nearby, there could be elves around, too, and I didn't want them to spot me before I spotted them. Granted, we would probably appear just like normal humans to them, but there was no such thing as being too careful in a situation like this. All around us were vendor booths with various wares for sale, much like the ones in Asgard and Alfheim. An old woman peddled natural herbs and remedies, and another sold handmade stone necklaces, while a man to our left shouted about fresh fish caught earlier today. Finally, after a few minutes of walking, I saw a large shop up ahead in a row with several others. One was for custom-made armor and weapons. Another sold various plants for people to plant and grow in their gardens. But the one between them was the one I wanted. On top of the wooden shop was a large sign with a huge snake, several frogs, and some other small creatures I wasn't sure the name of. The sign read, Lazlozas, Reptiles, and More. Ladies, I said to pull them out of their conversation.
What is it?
I see it, I explained with a small gesture ahead.
Shit! That's got to be it. I don't see any dragons on the sign.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I shook my head. I probably don't want to draw too much attention to it.
What do you mean? There was a little boy walking around with a dragon just earlier.
Yes, but he knew where to get it. Just like the rest of the members of this realm, they probably don't want to advertise their dragons selling to travelers.
I see.
Master pursed her lips.
What should we say when we go in? Are we going to just attack?
I don't think that's our best option here. They probably have at least some of the dragons hidden for training. The room I saw didn't appear open to the public.
And if they're hidden, we might need them to show us.
Ira frowned.
What's your plan, Rat?
I think we should go in as buyers.
We should make them think we want to buy a dragon. Good idea.
Ira nodded.
If he thinks we're buyers, then he'll have to show us the product. And once he does, then we can strike.
Cass grinned. Exactly.
Did you bring any coins with you? I have a feeling he might ask to see some before he shows us the dragons.
I did. I nodded. I didn't like to carry around a lot of coins, but I had a similar thought before we'd left the house earlier, so I made sure to grab a few gold coins I could show off if necessary.
What about the dragons?
You all stay on the ground until I give the order, okay? I asked as I bent down to look at them. Everyone in Midgard saw them as dogs anyway, so if they had to stay on the ground while we were here, it should be no different inside. Still, they were babies, and they sometimes forgot themselves, especially if there was food involved. All four little dragons nodded, and then I stood upright and looked at the girls. Ready?
Let's go.
Ira grinned and stared at the small building down the way while she cracked her knuckles threateningly. I smiled and led them down the street toward the wooden building. The two doors leading in were clearly old, and the handle on one appeared to be broken, but I just grabbed the other and pulled it open. The door made a terrible creaking noise as it swung inward, and as soon as we entered the small room, I felt a shiver run down my spine. There was something off about the place, and I immediately knew we were in the right shop. The store was dimly lit because there were only two windows at the front, near the doors, and they didn't let in enough light to fill the large area. There were various tanks all around the room, each filled with some reptile or another. I saw several snakes slithering around on tree branches, placed in their makeshift homes, some frogs and turtles, and in the far corner was a huge lizard, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The dark green creature was in an enclosure much too small for its size, and when we walked in it looked up at us, and then laid its head back down on the dirt. The dragons clearly weren't the only animals this asshole was torturing. I wasn't sure where some of these animals had come from. I had to assume most were from Midgard, but even still, none of them deserved to be treated like this. It didn't take a special connection with them to sense their fear and discomfort, and I felt sorry for them. I didn't see anybody in the store, though, so I stepped forward, and my footsteps echoed as I walked. There were no signs of dragons, as far as I could see, so I figured I was right. This asshole had them hidden somewhere, and he wasn't going to show us without us requesting to see them. "Hello?" I called out as I walked up to the counter with my women right behind me. The little dragons scurried over to the cages on the ground to look at the animals inside, and I could sense their sorrow as they saw the small enclosures. Inger and Ufe looked at the frogs and turtles while Svas stood in front of the cage of a large yellow and white snake that looked at her curiously and stuck his tongue out repeatedly. Blar made his way over to the large lizard in the corner, and the creature looked at the little dragon carefully before he laid his head on the ground once more. Blar sat in front of his cage and cocked his head to the side. I knew he was curious about the lizard, since he almost looked like a dragon. He was certainly large enough to be one. His body was even longer than Blar's, though he didn't have wings or horns, and his skin seemed almost smooth instead of scaly. His deep green color was muddy-looking, but his bright yellow eyes were keen as they looked the little dragon up and down with mild curiosity. The lizard turned around in the small pen and stood in front of Blar. Just when he leaned in to get a better look, though, a loud sound came from behind a curtain that hung behind the counter, and the large reptile startled, spun in a circle, and lay down again. He was clearly scared of whoever was back there. "Hello!" I called out again. Part of me wanted to simply rush back there and see what this guy had going on, but elves were often magical too, and I was worried that if we tried to attack he'd hide the dragons away, or that he had an enchantment to keep them hidden. Even though he didn't have the dragons out in the open area of his shop, I still found it astounding he would have them in the shop like this at all. It seemed like it was far too public, but then again, Midgard wasn't nearly as policed as Alfheim or Asgard. "Hello!" I yelled out again, and another crash sounded from the back room. A second later, a tall man with long black hair pushed through the curtain, grumbling something to himself. But then he looked up, saw us all there, and smiled. "Hello!" the man said, and I realized he had on a black cap so I couldn't see the top of his ears. "What kind of reptiles are we looking for today?" Something about him was familiar, even though I couldn't see his ears. And then it hit me that he was the same elf who was prodding the little purple dragon the first time I'd seen through her eyes. This was definitely the elf who tried to sell the purple female to someone else. But if this was where the boy sent me, then either the little dragon was here, or I was about to find some other ones. Either way, I knew this guy was bad news.
"We have plenty of reptiles to choose from,"
the man said when I didn't respond to his first question, and he gestured around the shop. His false politeness did nothing but irritate me, and I found myself having to take a deep breath to make sure I could speak to him nicely. Actually, I said, with as large of a smile as I could muster, we're here looking for something else.
Oh?
He asked, and his dark brown eyes narrowed on me suspiciously.
And what might that be?
I was told you are the place to go if I'm looking for a dragon.
Is that so?
The elf asked, and he stuck his nose slightly in the air.
Dragons are very rare and difficult to find. But I may have a couple if you're willing to pay the price.
I am certainly willing to pay whatever is necessary, I told him with a stern look.
Well, then,
he smiled and gestured behind him.
Right this way.
The little dragons were at my feet in an instant, and they followed the girls and I as we made our way through the curtains that led to the back room. I could sense the fear of the dragons around me before I could see them, but I wasn't sure how many there were. They were obviously babies from the simplicity of their emotions, and my heart sank as I took in their emotions. Once we were inside, he lit a candle that illuminated the area, and I was shocked to see all of the baby dragons in cages that lined the wall. I counted a dozen babies altogether, but I knew there had to be more around here. None of these were the dragons I'd seen in my dream earlier today, so I knew there were more hidden somewhere.
Here, you see, each of these is extremely rare,
the elf said with a sly smile as he walked toward the cages. The little dragons scurried backward and cowered when he approached, and I could feel their fear as if it were my own.
What makes them so rare?
Kaas asked in a sweet, innocent voice. The sorceress was playing the part, and I shot her a quick smile in response.
Well, dragons are very hard to find. They come from a different realm outside of Earth, so they're also very difficult to transport. Many are lost on the way here.
What do you mean, lost?
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows pulled together with concern.
Oh, not all of them make the journey, I'm afraid.
He faked a frown and then turned back to the dragons on the wall.
These are all extremely rare for their coloring, too. So beautiful, no?
Of course I thought all dragons were beautiful, but I knew what rare dragons looked like, and none of these were rare. They all had standard colorings of blues, greens, yellows, pinks, and oranges. This asshole knew the humans of Midgard had very little knowledge of things outside their realm, and he was fully exploiting that to make a profit. The journey from one realm to another wasn't difficult at all, with a portal, and certainly not with the Bifrost. Travel between realms had been perfected long ago, and the elf certainly knew that. I wasn't surprised he didn't put any of the actual rare dragons out for sale, though. There was no sense in selling the good merchandise when the mediocre stuff went for the same price. If he did have rare dragons, he was probably keeping them to train for the Elf King. Yeah, these are all quite nice, I said as I looked at the poor babies lined up on the wall. However, I'm afraid you don't have what I'm looking for.
No?
The elf scoffed, and his nasty yellow teeth showed when he sneered at me.
What exactly are you looking for?
Well, you see, I said as I walked over to the dragons on the wall. I was hoping to find a purple dragon.
Purple?
He asked, and his brow furrowed with confusion.
It's for me,
Kaas offered with a smile.
My favorite color, you see, to match my eyes.
The elf looked the sorceress up and down with a narrowed gaze.
I'm afraid I don't have any purple dragons.
Oh, it's a shame, I frowned. We traveled all this way.
Where did you say you were from?
He asked, and he leaned in slightly as he looked at me.
Rome! We traveled a long way because we were told this was the best place to go for dragons.
Yes, a friend of mine brought one home from here, and once we saw it, we knew we simply had to have one.
Maybe you know him. He's about average height, with dark hair and eyes.
I'm afraid I have a lot of customers.
The elf muttered, and he looked back at me.
I'm afraid these are all the selections I have, but I'm sure you can find one to please your lady.
I smiled and looked at Cass. Dear, do you see one to your liking?
I really had my heart set on the purple one.
She sighed and looked at the elf with wide violet eyes that she batted innocently.
Are you absolutely sure these are all the dragons you have?
I'm afraid so,
he said, and I could tell he was growing irritated with our charade. Luckily, I knew just how to reel him back in. Oh, that really is a pity, I said, and I grabbed the coin purse from my hip and opened it up. I was willing to pay a hefty price for a purple one. I walked over to a small table in the corner of the room and dumped the coin purse out. Gold pieces clanked against the wood, and several bounced off and rolled onto the floor. The elf's eyes widened slightly as he watched the money fall, and then he licked his lips and looked up at me.
Well, I suppose I do have a few more for sale.
And where might those be? I'd like to see them.
They're just in the basement,
he told me with a gesture to a door at the end of the room.
However, I still don't have a purple one for sale.
No? I asked with a shake of my head.
You don't have a purple one at all? You seem like you have everything here.
I have a purple dragon, but she's not for sale. However, I have some even more rare-colored dragons downstairs that might interest you.
Everything's for sale. How much do you want for her? I assure you, money won't be an issue.
She's not for sale. She's already been sold to another buyer.
Is that right? I asked, and I turned around and pretended to look at the dragons on the wall, but really I grabbed the hilt of my sword. That buyer wouldn't happen to be the Elf King, would it?
Wait.
His eyes narrowed on me, and his lips pulled into a snarl.
Just who are you? What do you want?
He pulled an axe off his hip and stepped back into a fighting stance. I already told you. I want a purple dragon! As soon as the words left my lips, I spun round with my blade in my hand and charged the elf. He blocked my first blow, then attempted to deliver one to me, but I dodged his blade and gave him a quick kick to the shin.
Ah, shite!
He breathed, and he pulled back into his stance and gritted his teeth.
Ah, who the fuck are you?
That's not important. What's important is that your little shop is officially out of business.
Over my dead body,
he growled, and then he raised his voice toward the basement door, though he continued to look at me.
I could use some help up here, you assholes!
The sound of footsteps on the stairs caught my attention, but I didn't look away from the elf. He clearly thought he'd just outnumbered me, but he hadn't taken into account the women who were with me, not to mention the dragons who looked like dogs to him.
We got them. You handle this, arsehole.
I'm on it. I smiled at the man as his eyes darted over to my women. A panicked look washed over his face for a second as he saw them all pull out their weapons, and I used that opportunity to step forward and slice at him. The elf was quick, and he jumped back to dodge my blow, but I kept going. I heard the door to the basement open, but my eyes were on my opponent, so I couldn't look over to see how many there were. Suddenly, Blar appeared behind the elf, and he let out a huge fire blast that sent the man screaming in pain. He dropped his axe and ran straight into the wall behind me, and he fell to the ground and rolled around in an attempt to put the flames out. Some squeals came from the cages on the wall, and I looked up and realized the little dragons were laughing and cheering at the elf's injuries. Their captor was being punished, and I could understand why that would be something to cheer about. I was enjoying it myself. Then I heard the clamoring of weapons behind me, and I quickly glanced back to see the girls locked in battle with the men who'd come up from the basement. Cass was wielding her greatsword, and a poor human man tried to dodge her blows, but her sword had too long of a reach for him, and Cass sliced him right across the stomach so his entrails fell out. He reached for his intestines and tried to hold them in place, as blood pooled in and out of his mouth, and then he fell to the floor in spasms. Ira had taken on the largest guy, of course, and she traded blows with him, but I could see she'd already sliced his arm and chest a couple of times. The man was bleeding badly, and I knew he wouldn't be able to hold out for long. Asta had her daggers out, too, and Inga was on her shoulder, ready to retrieve them from wherever the elf girl managed to land them in the man's body. I watched as she jabbed the large man in the leg with one dagger, and then she focused on getting a blow in with the other, while Inga retrieved her blade. I was surprised to see Ufe and Svas had their own competitor, but they were handling him just fine. Ufe pounced on the ground several times, and finally the wood beneath him broke, and a huge hole opened up. Svas blew fire into the man's face, and he reached up to block his eyes, but then stumbled back into the hole Ufe created. I quickly turned my attention back to my own opponent, but he was still on the floor holding his head, which now was bald, thanks to blast flames. His hat had burned off, too, along with the back of his clothes, which were now falling off, and without his hat to cover his ears, I could clearly see they were pointed. I flipped my blade in my hand and then walked over to thrust it against the man's neck. I didn't go for the kill just yet, though. I wanted him to squirm a little bit. The burned elf regained his composure, and he grabbed hold of my blade and tried to stop me from slicing straight through his neck.
"What do you want?"
he asked as blood dripped down his hands and arms from where he held on to the edges of my ever-sharp sword.
"Do you want money? I can give you money. You don't have to do this."
"I told you before." I sneered as I leaned down to look into his dark eyes. "I'm here for a purple dragon." With that, I slammed my sword down into his throat with such force that it nearly decapitated him. His eyes bulged out of his skull for a second before the light faded from them, and his body collapsed against the ground beneath him. Blah landed on my shoulder and then looked up at the little dragons in the cages.
"Should we free them now?"
Cass asked, and I looked around to see all of our opponents were dead.
"Or do you think they're too scared to go back to Alfheim on their own?"
I looked at the babies and sensed their feelings of relief and happiness, and where they'd hidden from the elf at the back of their cages, they now came forward and cooed at us. "I think they'll be fine to go on their own." I smiled and looked at Blah. "You up for another portal, little buddy?" Blah nodded and looked over to the little dragons. I reached up and opened all their cages, and one by one they came out and landed on the floor at my feet. I leaned down and smiled at the small group of babies, and then I held my hand out for them to sniff. "You're going to be okay. We're going to send you home." I could sense their excitement, and it made me happy to know we'd replaced their fear with a sense of security. Even if they weren't able to find their mothers, I knew the Valley of Dragons was full of mothers who would happily take them in. I'd seen them do it before, and I knew they'd do it again. The dragons looked out for one another there, since it was their best chance at survival. Blah closed his eyes, and a second later, a small portal opened in front of the babies. They let out a little squeal of delight, and then immediately jumped through it.
They didn't hesitate at all.
Well, they knew they were going home. I shrugged. The little portal closed behind them, and I stood up and faced my now blood-splattered women. "The dragons downstairs are probably terrified. Let's try not to startle them."
"We'll follow your lead,"
Ira said with a hard nod. I nodded and walked over to the door that led to the basement of the building. The old wooden stairs creaked as I stepped onto them, and Blas scurried along in front of me down the squeaky steps. With each step I took, I could sense the feelings of the dragons below us. They were scared, but curious about what had just happened. Dragons had incredible hearing, so I knew they heard what had just gone on upstairs. "Hello?" I called out gently as we made our way down the stairs. "My name is Roth, and we're here to rescue you." A sudden flood of relief filled me as the dragons realized their captors weren't coming back. We stepped onto the landing, and I saw the dragons in the cages all around. This was the room I'd seen in my vision earlier, only I didn't see the little purple dragon.
"What?"
Cass suddenly screamed, and she pointed to the far end of the room where a small wooden table sat. On the table was the little purple dragon. It wasn't moving.